This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. For a look at this week's grain markets, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. He says pretty much the only place good news can be found this week is in the soybean markets.
Well, we're looking at a market that's fighting a lot of bearish tendencies. We've seen corn prices plummet. We've seen wheat prices make new contract lows, while corn makes new six-month lows. Soybeans have been trying to hang on. Very tight cash supplies are causing the processors to push the bids upward, and that's providing some near-term support. We've also seen a little bit of export business come in, another big sale to unknown destinations of new crop soybeans announced to start the day today. But overall, this is a market that's fighting bearish tendencies, although getting a little bit of a lift now from the dollar breaking to one-month lows.
The strong dollar has been hindering our export markets, and although Suderman says we're currently seeing a dip in the strength of the dollar, he expects it to continue its upward climb a bit longer.
It went up to 12-year highs in March, and now is coming back off of those highs. So we've seen some money start to very cautiously flow back into the broader commodity sector. So far, the funds, the speculative hedge funds, have shown that they are quite comfortable holding large short or sold positions in corn and in wheat, and even at times in soybeans as well. But if we can get a more substantial break in the dollar, which long term I'm still bullish the dollar and think it has more upside to go, been waiting for a larger correction lower after its long run up over the past 7 or 8 months. If we can get a more sustained correction lower, then I think we can see a little bit more money coming in and maybe give us a springtime rally to catch up with sales.
With a strong U.S. dollar, countries can get grain exports from South America at a cheaper price, and Suderman says favorable weather conditions for harvest and safrina corn mean they will have the supply to meet many export needs, even with trucker strikes still occurring in Brazil.
Argentina keeps pushing its production estimates higher, beating last year's record high production for soybeans by 10% or more, it looks like. And a similar type of situation in Brazil. So pretty tough for the bulls to find something to argue for higher prices in South America right now. As far as the trucker strike goes in Brazil, we saw two major federal highways that had four blockages on them yesterday. At the peak of the strike that started on Thursday, I think we've seen 17 blockages, maybe 20 blockages, but nothing like what we saw in February, and for the most part, we're seeing the soybeans move to port.
Meanwhile, Suderman expects planting in the Midwest to be in full swing this week as favorable weather conditions roll in.
We'll see some showers return to the Midwest early next week, but the more significant rains don't come until late next week. So it looks like we should get some significant planting done during this week. The record in acres planted in 1 week set a couple years back at 41 million acres. I don't know whether it'll be that type of week yet or not, but we should see substantial planting progress this week, and that'll likely just kind of add to the bearish tone for the corn market. Although with a big crop report coming up on May the 12th, as large as short positions as we've seen this market, perhaps traders will start becoming uncomfortable with that. Start covering that, some of those short positions together with maybe a lower dollar and give us a little bit more of a bounce in here in this market.
While farmers are planting, the wheat crop is continuing to mature. A generally good crop can be seen in Illinois, but for many of the main wheat-producing states, wheat condition is continuing to deteriorate.
Decent crop overall in Illinois, Indiana, Ohio. And for that, we're grateful considering the winter it went through and the difficulty in getting it in the ground last fall. Not the case in the Plains hard red winter wheat belt, particularly in the central plains is where the greatest amount of problems are, all the way from Kansas, even north into South Dakota. Some continued problems and deterioration there, first with winter kill, then the drought. Although the drought's been there all winter, the drought became much more significant this spring. The rains have started to come now, maybe a little bit too late, and now stripe rust is prominent in areas of Kansas. Stripe rust can be devastating to yields, but many farmers telling me that the yield potential is so low and the price is so low that they probably won't treat. So we're continuing to cut into the hard red winter wheat yields in the central plains, So far, traders really haven't cared too much because we've had trouble selling it on the export market, or they were simply overpriced on the global market.
Traders currently don't seem too concerned about the condition of the wheat crop. Suderman says this is partly due to global supplies.
Global supplies of wheat in terms of days of supply are probably pretty close to the middle of that range of the extremes of being an overabundance of supplies or running short. So we're right kind of in the middle. That means that traders have a choice whether to see the glass as half full or half empty. But in a period of deflationary prices, when they're moving money out of the commodities and want to be short the commodities, they're going to see that as half full. If we'd get a big break in the dollar, maybe get some export demand, and I think they would start seeing the glasses half empty. But for now, it's been bearish, and that's why we've seen prices make new contract lows. I wouldn't be surprised if we were to see a short covering rally in wheat sometime over the next 2 weeks. With the Wheat Quality Council tour of the Hard Red Winter Wheat Belt coming up next week, and USDA's big production estimates and crop report the following week, traders getting nervous with the size of their short positions in the wheat market, but that rallies will be seen as opportunities to sell unless something changes in the fundamentals.
As farmers stare down what looks to be a very bearish year, Suderman has this to say.
Oftentimes when things are most bearish, that's when the market finds a reason to go the other way. So we're watching for those clues at all times. But if we have a good growing season this year, I think we need to keep in mind that when the market does rally, we need to take advantage of those opportunities. And thus far, weather forecasters not seeing any significant threats on the horizon.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's National Institute of Food and Agriculture announced more than $3.8 million through the Agriculture and Food Research Initiative yesterday to support grants focused on using nanotechnology to find solutions to societal challenges. NIFA Director Sunny Ramaswamy says advances in nanotechnology help secure a healthy food supply by enabling cost-effective methods for the early detection of insects, diseases, and other contaminants, improve plant and animal breeding, and create high value-added products of nanobiomaterials for food and non-food applications. For more information, you can visit nifa.usda.gov. The Illinois Crop and Weather Report came out yesterday. Corn planting was limited in some areas by cool, wet conditions. However, statewide planting progressed 16 percentage points over the past week. Statewide precipitation averaged 1.2 inches, 0.3 inches above normal. The average temperature was 48 degrees, 7.7 degrees below normal. There were 3.7 days suitable for field work during the week ending April 26th. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 5% short, 77% adequate, and 18% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was rated at 10% short, 78% adequate, and 12% surplus. Corn planting progressed to 31% complete compared to 28% last year and the five-year average of 37%. Corn emerged reached 1%, winter wheat headed reached 2%, behind the five-year average of 16%. Winter wheat condition remained at 7% poor, 35% fair, 51% good, and 7% excellent. Oats planted reached 78% complete. Pasture and range condition was rated at 2% poor, 27% fair, 58% good, and 13% excellent. The Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship, or IDALS, is responding to four probable cases of highly pathogenic avian influenza in commercial poultry farms in northwest Iowa. Initial testing was positive for the H5N2 avian influenza at three pullet farms with about 250,000 birds each. The fourth case was at a commercial operation that houses 1.7 million birds. IDALS says if initial tests are confirmed, all birds on the properties will be euthanized to prevent the spread of the disease. Iowa 4th District Congressman Steve King says the situation is very serious.
This is very, very serious to the industry. We had a hope that it would be contained to turkeys, and when it spills over then into chickens and into the egg industry, it heavily impacts, especially Northwest Iowa, and especially the 4th Congressional District.
Authorities have several options for disposing of birds, but King says the U.S. Department of Agriculture faces a much more difficult task in a commercial egg layer due to the sheer numbers.
The application for compost doesn't work as easily as it does with the limited number of turkeys in turkey buildings. It's a different application, and I'm hoping that we're able to come up with a solution that we can apply on-site to contain this virus on-site, eradicate it on-site.
If confirmed by APHIS, the four new sites will join three previously confirmed cases of the avian influenza at Iowa chicken and turkey farms. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.